everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kelly O Show. Today, we are talking with Juliana Dever, and this is going to be the first, I believe, I hope I'm not making a fool out of myself, this is going to be the first in a series I'm going to be featuring on The Kelly O Show focused on travel. And you know I talked about this if you listened to my first episode as we transitioned this podcast from being Fitfluential Radio to The Kelly O Show. And I explained in that introductory show what I plan to be covering on this podcast and why, because there's some topics like finances and money. Why are we going to be talking about that? How does that tie into the bigger picture of fitness, health, and wellness? Because really that's what we're doing here with this show, is taking what we started with Fitfluential and expanding it beyond strictly, hey, you know, what we eat, how many calories we eat, what diets we might be on, and how much we're working out at the gym, to really the bigger picture. Now, the reason that I've always wanted to cover travel is not just because, well, who doesn't want to travel? But more importantly, because as a nation, we are not taking vacation. We are not taking days off. We are not doing what pretty much everyone else around the world does on a regular basis, which is explore, go out, take vacations, do staycations even, get out, take time off, use your vacation time and see the world. We spend so much time dedicated to work. And I, more than anybody, am the perfect example of workaholism and how it doesn't get you anywhere. And you will never look back on it and go, wow, I'm so glad I spent 5 years of my life not taking vacations and working all the time. You will never say that. Trust me. So I've always wanted to do this show on travel to encourage all of us to do that, to travel more, to see the world, because ultimately, how this ties back to health is the more that we take vacations, the more that we put ourselves first, the more that we start, you know, recharging, okay? Again, it doesn't mean that you always have to travel to a far off location, but taking time off to recharge and enjoy time with loved ones and enjoy getting to know other countries and other cultures, that is going to help us be better when we do return to work. So that's going to decrease our stress, improve our overall happiness and fulfillment in life. And obviously, that is going to make a dramatically positive impact on our overall health and wellness, and even on the micro level down to what we do in the gym. You know, when you're stressed, your cortisol is going to get jacked. Go listen to those episodes on cortisol I talked about. When you're not stressed, you are happy. Your cortisol and your hormones will be regulated. Your performance in the gym will improve. It's all tied together. So this is going to be the first episode where we start to talk about travel. And let me tell you something. Juliana Dever is an actress who ended up kind of segueing into becoming a really fantastic travel blogger. I'm kidding you not. She needs her own travel show. and the tips and insights that she throws down in this two-part episode. So I'm going to tell you, this two-part episode is actually in total, I believe, about an hour and 15 minutes. So each episode will be, what, probably close to 35, 40 minutes or so. Absolutely worth it. I learned so much in this episode. So this is not just, hey, pack a suitcase, make sure you use plastic Ziploc bags. There's some great tips in here about traveling abroad, about traveling in general. She's definitely going to be back on the show on a regular basis. And you will definitely be updating your passport or getting a passport if you don't have one and heading out and making sure you ask for some time off as soon as possible. I hope you enjoy this show. I certainly hope you stay tuned in for the travel series that we have coming up, because there's some great stuff I can't wait to share with you. But for now, sit back and enjoy this two-part episode and this interview with Juliana Dever. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Kelly O Show. I'm Kelly Olexa, as you know. And today on the show, I'm so ridiculously excited to have my bestie, Juliana Dever, on the show, who I met several years ago. I've told you guys in the intro how I met her. She's made such a huge impact on my life, and I am ridiculously excited to have her travel expertise because, well, I'm before I start giving away all of her secrets, Juliana, welcome to the show. Are you ready to go?
I am. Hi, Kelly.
I really am. I have been so looking forward to this, and I said in the intro, and I told you before we started recording, I have enjoyed watching you, and it's Rachel that goes with you a lot of times. Does she always travel with you, by the way?
No, not at all. But it is a blast when she does.
Yeah. So for everybody, of course, we're going to link this up in the show notes. And you will want to not only subscribe to Juliana's blog, follow her on Instagram, because I was just telling her this before we started recording. One of the shows that I really enjoyed watching, there's two travel shows that I watched on TV that always just enlightened me as to, you know, where I wanted to go in the world and how much of this world I haven't seen yet and why, you know, why I needed to go to these places that I'd never really thought of or considered before. I mean, like everybody thinks about go to Italy, go to Greece, but there's so many other cultures and places to visit that have such a rich history. And the shows that made me think about it, one was the Samantha Brown one on the Travel Channel. And then most recently it was Anthony Bourdain. And when I watch you, Juliana, on your Instagram channel, your style and your quality of content reminds me the most of Anthony Bourdain and what I got out of his shows. And I hope that's a compliment to you, because
It's definitely something to aspire to. I mean, it's also kind of, we tend to think the same way about a lot of stuff. And so, yeah, like it's really about digging into culture and connecting with people all over the world. More so maybe than just, you know, while the floppy hat and the pretty dress has its place, it can get a little repetitive if you don't take anything else away from that. So yeah, I'm all about really learning from other cultures.
So let's give context, because there's a lot of people that are tuning in and they're listening and they're just meeting you for the first time and they're not as familiar with you and your background as I am. So it kind of give people a bit of an introduction. When I have people on the show from like when we're talking about fitness stuff, I always say, you know, hey, how did you get into leading a fitness lifestyle? What was it for you and when was that? I'd like you to tell people, you know, what you have a background as an actress, and how did you end up going from doing, and I'm assuming you used to just solely do that. How did you segue into getting very interested in travel and then into sharing your travel on this amazing travel blog that you have? How did that happen?
You know what? It feels like they were always intertwined. And I owe so much of that to Judy Garland, really. but when I was a kid, I grew up in kind of a, you know, like podunk town in Missouri. And no one that I knew had ever traveled. And as a kid, the two things that I always did was put on plays in my backyard and force my neighbors to watch me. and you know, the entrance was it was a quarter or a stack of Pringles, because it was very food motivated. So
this is why we're friends.
Yeah, it totally is. So yeah, it was I would put on, entire plays. I would perform for everybody, but I also would just, she had two movies that just caused me to daydream about the possibility of getting out of that, you know, that Kansas town, that kind of idea that, you know, Wizard of Oz, obviously, and Meet Me in St. Louis, where the world kind of came to her and, you know, like these world fairs. And so, they both were just like, somehow they never were not intertwined, if that makes sense. So cut to, you know, I trained as an actor. I actually trained in Moscow, in Russia, with the Moscow Art Theater.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it was great because here, once again, I'm living this dream of acting, learning to get the solid foundation of acting, but I'm also doing it while traveling. So I started in Boston at Harvard, just the summer program with the Moscow Art Theater. And then I was invited to Moscow in the winter, which is the best time because the weather's so delightful in Moscow in January. But just standing in Red Square on New Year's Day and the red stars are twinkling above the Kremlin. And, you know, you've got those cupolas and the snow is like falling. And I'm like, is this real life? Like, so it's always kind of been together for me. And so now we talk about, you know, I was on a show on ABC called Castle for 8 years, and that was just an incredible experience. And what I wanted when that show ended in 2016 was my own travel show. So once again, I wanted to be in front of the camera. I wanted to connect with people because that it just fills my soul so much. Just to connect with people, because we really, there's so much good in all of us. And when we come together for good, mm-hmm. the things that we can create and accomplish together are incredible. And so I wanted to have that journey with the audience through travel. And I realized that in order for me to maybe, you know, pitch to some of these networks that were interested in travel shows, I maybe needed to have something beyond acting credibility. So I started a travel blog because at that point I had been traveling pretty ardently for about a decade. And I wanted to share that. And it's also so much more robust than just, hey, refer to that tweet in 2014 when I told you, you know, what place I like to eat in Piemonte, you know. So I started it. And I have always enjoyed writing as well and taking photos. So it seemed like a natural extension. And then it just became a beast of its own. And so now it's like 4 years later and I'm like, oh my God, I have a travel blog. Like it's a thing. It's like a child I have to take care of.
Like, right.
It always needs more stories. But you know that, so we can go into it more, but yeah, that's really the origin story of childhood to today.
And I, you know, just when I hear you talk about just, you were like sprinkling in several travel places that you've been, and you've been so many places. I mean, you like, if I could even just start traveling and hit where Juliana's gone, like I probably have the rest of my life set up as far as a schedule and a target. And honestly, I would go, I truly would. You could have your own, I'm like your agent right now. Cause I'm like, you could just have Juliana's recommendation and I would literally go because I know that when I see where you go through your eyes, I'm like, I want to go to there, you know? I mean, I really do. But back to when you were just answering that question, all the different experiences you had when you talked about Red Square, I mean, travel and for everybody listening, this is, you know, I set the tone. The reason I'm covering travel a lot more on the show is that as a country, we tend to be, especially now, you know, everybody's talking about hustle. Entrepreneurialism has become very, very trendy, very hip, very now, right? We all tend to be workaholics. I am a recovering workaholic every day, a person who founded a company and stopped taking vacations for 10 years. And I was telling Juliana before the show we started recording, there was one specific dinner that I had, and I'm going to record a whole show about this epiphany, but we had this dinner and I was sitting with the three of them, these my three Gorilla Glass cohorts. We were all on a blog experience. And we were all talking about our favorite places to travel. And they're talking about these places all over the world. And my places were all business trips. I was like, you know, the Detroit airport, when they remodeled it, was amazing. And Juliana looked at me like, and I remember she asked me, she's like, do you even have a passport? And I'm like, and everyone's like, oh my God. And to me, I want to encourage people that are listening to travel, because number one, it's a philosophy, if you will. We need to focus more on balance and getting out and enjoying life and taking breaks from work. So that's part one. But part two is what you heard Juliana talking about there, which is experiencing other cultures, learning about other people instead of just seeing it on the news and capturing or developing an opinion based on a very jaded presentation you see about another country on the news. We should be exploring more and learning about other cultures and other people. It's what's going to bring us together. And you know, it makes me kind of think back to my history of art experience in college. I learned more about culture and things to talk about with other people than, you know, strictly how this painting was created. So this is why we're talking about this. And I know Juliana is going to have a lot to share, but this is why we're talking about travel, because it all comes back to our quality of life, our balance, which ultimately to me is a reflection of our true health and wellness. Would you say, let me take it to something really simple, Juliana. You obviously travel all over. I'm going to ask you coming up questions, some of your favorite places and some tips. How do you decide where you're going to go? Like when you started traveling, did you just go to the typical tourist places, or how did you start going to places like, and I'm going to embarrass myself here, Georgia, which I thought was just a state in the United States.
What's funny is I've never been to the state of Georgia.
Really?
But I've been to the country of Georgia four times, and it is on the other side of the planet. So yeah.
Juliana was talking about, we were going around the table one night. Again, this was when we were all together for this Gorilla Glass thing. And we were talking about our favorite foods, because all of us love to eat. And she said, I love Georgian food. And I'm like, do you mean like Atlanta? And she looked at me like, okay, Kelly. And both Beth and Letitia were like, so I had no idea Georgia was a country. And maybe, I'm hoping there might be one or two other women out there that don't. So
many people. Yeah. Georgia. Don't even, do not feel bad for 3 seconds about that. Because I mean, I really, and what's funny is the country actually, it's been known by so many other names. And in fact, you know, they call it the Sakartvelo. And I'm like, why can't we all just do that? So I don't have to keep saying the country, not the state. Like, and now when people do say, oh, I'm going to Georgia, my best friend Rachel is from Georgia. And I'm always like, she's like, yeah, I was going to go to Georgia. And I'm like, for Thanksgiving. And I'm like, the country? And she's like, no, the state. I'm like, oh, that's right. I've kind of, it's like shifted in my mind. But to answer your question, yeah, you know, one of my early jobs was with an airline. And so the first time I ever left the country, it wasn't like, I just knew I wanted to go everywhere, which is really, you know, that's too biting off more than you can possibly chew. But, you know, I had an opportunity early on because I was working for an airline, you know, you get these passes. And so it's, I think at the time to go internationally, it was $25. And, but mind you, and I wouldn't, this is what you do when you're like 18 or 25 or something, you know, where you're like, oh, I don't care. I'll sleep in cargo. And then now I'm like, if I don't get upgraded, I start to panic. I'm just like, I feel so trapped on that. Like also to all of your amazing listeners, you guys, I am terribly afraid of flying. And I fly over 100,000 miles a year. So I just want you to know where I'm coming from here. I feel trapped in that little metal tube in the air. I need to be as far forward as possible. So I don't know how many people I'm trapped with. Because then I'll just go over every single worst case scenario. Like, how are we all going to get out of here? Like, I smell the oven, like, start up. And I'm like, okay, does anyone know if the kitchen's on fire? Like,
I didn't know that.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And so, yeah, there's a lot that I talk about it freely because I can't be the only one that's scared to fly, but just needs to see the world. And it's like, and it only happened like, it happened 10 years ago and for no reason. It's not like, oh, I had a really bad experience. I can't really explain what changed, but I know that there's other women out there. I've talked to a lot of women that, you know, maybe mid 30s, late 30s, all of a sudden it's like, I'm scared to fly. It's just one day. And so you're not alone. And I'm hopeful that I'm not alone, but it doesn't mean that you can, I just wouldn't allow that to start making my life smaller. I couldn't. So I do a lot of things, and we can always talk about that, or you can join me on my Facebook page. We have lots of conversations about that stuff.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but, yeah. But I'm guessing that there probably are. So a lot of women who are listening are like probably thinking, okay, I have these issues. I haven't flown a lot. I mean, I've heard that from a lot of people. Like I haven't traveled in forever and I'm scared of flying. Do you take anything? I mean, and I'm not trying to be insulting, but like, do you take something like a relaxant or do you just drink a lot? Or
like Kelly, drugs and alcohol. No.
Does a Bloody Mary do the trick?
Well, not just one.
That's my kind of girl. Yeah.
I do a lot of things, and it's funny because it really does depend on the flight, how many flights I've had, the weather. Like, I'm always checking out the pilot. Does he seem like he's fit? Why does he have a snack and fast food in his hand? Like, is he going to make it through this flight? Like, P.S. I know this isn't answering your question, but I just got back a week ago. I was in Europe for a month by myself. And I was flying. I was at a travel adventure conference in Sweden, and then I was going down to Slovenia to curate a tour for my readers. And I was supposed to fly from Gothenburg, this smaller city in Sweden, to Ljubljana in Slovenia with a connection in Munich. And it changed airlines. And I got a notification that the airline was suddenly, not a 40-minute flight, but a 2.5-hour flight. And I couldn't figure out why. And then I realized they decided they were flying from Munich to Zurich to stop and get gas and then fly from Zurich to Ljubljana. And two things at play here, besides the obvious that why is a 40-minute flight now taking 2.5 hours, but going in and out of Zurich, it's all up in the mountains. So you've got sharp descensions and really fast, high ascensions to get up and out of the mountains quickly, or you just run into them, which is not good for anyone. And so I was like, second of all, do we not have enough gas? Why do we need to stop mid-flight to get gas? So I'm telling you right now, and I did kind of go over this in my head. I'm like, you're being ridiculous. Just take the flight. But I didn't feel comfortable. There was something in my gut that said, don't do it. So I landed in Munich, went straight to the Lufthansa service center. I said, give me my bags right now. Lovely, amazing. I didn't want to get on this carrier, which, by the way, a week later filed bankruptcy and quit flying. So while I was still in Slovenia. So got my bags, got on a train, 6-hour train ride, beautiful train ride on the ground through the Alps. So like, these are the kinds of decisions that like I make when I travel. I freak out about flying and I give up. I'm like, I'm not doing it. But if it's no choice, like I have to get back across the Atlantic or I have to fly to Georgia. I drink wine. Sometimes I'll just take melatonin. Sometimes if I'm really having a panic attack, I'll be honest, I'll take Xanax. Like I need to keep myself calm to get through 12.5 hours trapped in a metal tube. But
not remember the one time on one of the trips and you took vitamin B and you didn't realize that it was an energy shot. Yes. So she took, I don't remember when it was. It was it when we were all in Tucson.
We were in New York. I remember that. I remember that we were in New York.
She took like a B12 shot right before bed and all of us fell asleep. And all we saw were her Snapchats the next day where she's like, I'm awake.
Look, I'm not the wellness expert, but I learned a lot that time. But I do, like, I have a full wellness bag. I have a whole article about it on my website of how to keep healthy when I travel, because I've gotten mystery illnesses. But yeah, we can talk about that stuff for hours and hours and hours, but I will let you get back to the benefits of travel.
Well, you know, I mean, and we're just, people that listen to this podcast know I will end up starting on a path and we go down a completely different path and I just go with it. But you made me think of a couple good points when you were just talking about it. So I'm sitting here thinking about you getting off this plane and you were traveling solo. I mean, that's a question in and of itself, which I love. And we just went live with Beth Santos's, by the way, interview.
Oh, nice.
So you have to listen to that because for everybody, if you haven't listened to that episode yet, that's a 2-part episode with Beth Santos, who is our other Gorilla Glass girl. That's what we call each other, the Gorilla Glass, the Gorilla Four, whatever you want to call us.
Yeah.
This show is not sponsored by Gorilla Glass officially. I just have to feel like I have to disclose that. But anyway, Beth is the founder of a network called She's Wonderful, which encourages women to travel solo, but also, you know, to go on girl trips and, you know, trips with their girlfriends, whatever. But when you're traveling solo, like the thought for me, and this is probably because I've not, number one, I haven't traveled solo outside of business trips. And the thought of me being overseas in some country that I haven't been in and having to decide, oh, I'm going to take a train. My first thought is, how the hell would I speak the language? So how many languages do you speak?
One. And
so what do you, how do you navigate? Is that an issue if you don't speak multiple languages going to all of these different countries or no?
No, not at all. I mean, like, so a couple of things. First of all, I do have an ear for language and a deep, deep love of it. And I think, you know, if I had a superpower, it would be to speak all languages. So going into this, and I know, cause I have friends that, you know, no matter how many times we say a word, they're always going to say it wrong. Like some people just, that's not their aptitude, but they're amazing in other things. But for me, I'm really good at picking up language. I was living after I went, came back from Moscow. I moved to St. Petersburg for a while to learn to speak Russian. I can read and write in Cyrillic, but you know, the language begins to fade when you don't use it. Studied French for a while and I have a nominal understanding of Spanish. So, I get language, I get root words. So that is helpful, but you don't even need to have that. For instance, one thing I always tell people is at a minimum, just learn hello, goodbye, please, thank you, one, two, three. Just learn those things because when you travel, the world is not your playground. The world is, you are in someone else's home. So imagine someone walks into your home and just starts speaking at you in a foreign language. Like you would be so surprised if someone just came into your house and started rattling off. You'd be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So what that does, because, and in Europe specifically, but in quite a few languages around the world, English is an international language. And I was always surprised, like everyone in Europe speaks to each other in English, which is really adorable. Okay. So I'm listening to my Dutch friend speak with her Dutch accent to, you know, somebody in Slovenia with their Slovenian accent. And that's how people communicate and relate. And so a lot of people do know English, but start off by saying, you know, dobre utra, or, you know, hola, or bonjour. Like, just get that down because it says, look, I don't know your language, but I recognize I'm here in your home and I appreciate you. And, you know, it's considerate, it's kind. From there, you kind of, you know, even if they do start to, and some people who, you know, you get out into rural areas, no, they're not gonna. You know, they may not know English at all, but you know, like in Japan, that one was a language barrier, but you can go on Google Translate on your phone and talk into it or type into it exactly what you want to say, hit translate and hit the phone and, you know, hand the phone to someone else. And it works beautifully. Like the amount of things I was able to accomplish in Japan in places where, and again, a lot of people do speak English there, but if they didn't, we were still able to communicate and it was perfect. So, you know, it's just a matter of navigating those things and not being self-conscious, you know, a little bit of kindness. And sometimes charades, language charades are so fun. It goes a long way, you know, like I always think it's a hoot. So, you know, and in those cases, if you're in transportation centers, airports more than train stations. But, you know, they're always going to have someone who speaks English because that's the one language everyone in the world will communicate with. So it wasn't an issue. And online, you know, most websites you can translate. I bought my train ticket online, you know, so.
Would you say it's, and again, I'm coming at you, Juliana, from my perspective. So for everybody listening, you know, has Kelly Alexa been traveling overseas? Not at all. I'm just starting my traveling the world with my man. So my adventure is just starting. So just know that I'm coming at this from like somebody who is not experienced. And I'm just asking you these questions for those people who are like me out there in the audience that are like, what the hell? So here's my other question that I've heard a lot. When you are traveling overseas, do you get the, like, we hate Americans thing? Is that prevalent or is that just something we see on TV that's not really?
Yeah, you know what? I'm really glad that you asked that. And there was something else you said earlier that it really spoke to me, this idea of learning about the world firsthand and not what you see on the news. And I think we're in this really weird place where words don't mean things anymore and facts don't mean things anymore. And you don't know who to trust or what the bias is when the information is being presented at you. So, and we also have these attention spans now where we just read a headline. We might not even know where that article came from and if what the agenda of the person who wrote it was. So I think it's become murkier than ever to determine what is real and what is not. But if there's one thing that I believe you should always strive to learn and have an open mind, but to believe your own eyes and ears to the extent, you know, like I'm not saying like Photoshop pictures or whatever, but you know what I mean? Like when you see or hear, you vibe out how someone is acting to you, trust yourself, trust your instincts, trust the news that you're getting directly from a source, not filtered through anything else. And so why I'm saying that in the realm of travel is, and to your question, one of the places in the world that I go that loves Americans more than like enthusiastically, excitedly cheer, hurrah, the Middle East.
Interesting.
And I think a lot of people would not be, if I gave you a survey and you had to pick which country or which continent loved America the most, you wouldn't pick that one.
Hmm.
I go to the Middle East a lot and I love it. I've been to quite a few countries in the Middle East. The country of Jordan, which is right on the Dead Sea and the Red Sea. And it has Syria as one of its bordering countries. It's right across from Israel. Like I started going there years ago, so randomly, and some would be, you're crazy that you did that. But I started going there because I'm like, I tweeted the Board of Tourism and I was like, wow, your country sounds amazing. And they wrote me back. They DM'd me and they were like, well, do you want to come? And I was like, yeah. And my mom was like, are you insane? You don't even know who this is. And they're inviting you to come to the Middle East. And you know, they flew me over, but I was like, okay, I have to bring a friend. But the result of that was they wanted me to do these like little interstitials about what you can do when you come to Amman, Jordan. And from there, they drove me up and down the entire country for 2 weeks. It's just astounding and beautiful and friendly. And I made such good friends on that trip that I've gone back almost every year since. I was just there 2 months ago. And from there, I've gone to Beirut and Lebanon. I've also been to Oman and Abu Dhabi and Dubai and, I'm trying to think like a bunch. I've gone to quite a few Middle Eastern countries now. And for me, Arabia, like what is the essence of Arabia is just so gorgeous and intoxicating. And it's not what people think. And it's this Bedouin culture of friendliness and openness. But I can tell you in every one of the Middle Eastern countries that I've been to, people are like, America, yay. They love us. And so again, this is all to say, don't read headlines and then expect that that's what travel is. Go do it for yourself. I mean, obviously talk to people who have been to different countries, but don't read a story online unless it's mine on my blog. But don't just read like a headline because, you know, at this point in our culture, we feel a bit lost, I think, or untethered to what even is real. So talk to people you trust, find different places where you know, like that people aren't necessarily working with an agenda and just traveling to places, but being open to the world and talk to people you trust, talk to me, you know, meet me on my Facebook page. If you have questions, like we talk about all kinds of stuff, but the world is, it's not always what you might think it is. And it's probably going to surprise you for the good.
Well, you've already surprised me. And I think there's a big theme here to me that's coming out of listening to you. And the first part you mentioned was, you know, when you said, I'm terrified of flying, but I do it anyway, because I want the experience. So you're facing your fears there. And I truly think that many people don't either travel solo. So there's the traveling solo thing, I think can intimidate a lot of women who, you know, are automatically thinking, you know, something bad is going to happen to them, and or their mom's going to, I mean, I know my mom would say that if I went and I did a traveling solo thing, she's been that way with me on every business trip I've ever taken. She's watching the weather. She's watching my flight. She's seeing where I'm staying. She's asking why I'm going running out. You know, like if I run in downtown Manhattan, she's like, and why do I even stay downtown Manhattan? That makes no sense. But she's like, are there lights on? Can people see you? Where are you running? I mean, you know, she's just worrying about me. But back to what you said about the Middle East. I mean, when I think about what would be going on in my brain, honestly, before hearing this, I would automatically think, I go over there, I would be kidnapped and beheaded. And that's,
I know. That's exactly. My mom's like, how do you know that you're not being sold into like marriage to some sheikh?
That's the kind of stuff that we see. And so we're going to limit ourselves. And I'm not encouraging people to be careless, but on the other hand, it kind of opens up maybe a good question. So for women that are thinking about maybe, you know, say going to some of these places with some friends or potentially solo, right? How do you, you know, when I think of a lot of these places that you mentioned, I think, and you might laugh that I'm going to say this, but I think about watching shows like Homeland, right? And there's religious practices that we don't observe here, right? Covering of the head. And I would worry that I would go somewhere and not be covering my head or be dressed in a way that would be offending somebody and I'd get arrested. And those are the things that scare me, that I would do something wrong. Do you, when you go to some of these places, do you research that kind of stuff first? Or
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't matter where in the world you go, you should have an awareness of local customs. And that goes for everything. It doesn't just go for, oh, is this a place where women need to cover up? And I'll tell you, you know, like, and I'm lucky because I've been to the Middle East so much. And I just happen to make such good friends there that I can't live without them. Like, I adore them. And so I go see them all the time. And that was just a product of travel. I'll ask them sometimes, but I definitely, the first time I did research, and even that, you know, it erred on the side of conservatism, which is never a bad thing. You don't necessarily want to be, you know, walking around calling attention to yourself. You know, even when you're in Paris, you don't really want to look like a tourist if you can avoid it, because you might get pickpocketed. So, you know, there's always a custom that you need to do a little research.
Because you just said something that's really important, I think, you know, whether it's Paris or wherever, how do you avoid looking like a tourist? I would be that person that's like screaming like, oh my God, look at this girl with her selfie stick out. You know, like how would you avoid being looking like a tourist? Because actually we're planning a trip to Paris. So.
Yeah. You know, like you're not going to avoid it completely. And I wouldn't stress out about it, but you know, it's funny, and also maybe because I've lived in different parts of the world, like my husband, who has also lived in Russia, will walk around and please know that this is coming from a very deep affection of Russians, but we can always tell Russians all over the world. And we're always like, they walk by and we're like, Russians. It's just like, so we're always going to walk by and people are going to be like, Americans. But here's the thing. If you're going to a place like Paris, for instance, Americans have a uniform that if you're not careful, you tend to wear. And I think it's born out of comfortability and also the idea of just needing to feel prepared for any situation. But sometimes we tend to walk around and we're not always dressed for the scenario that we're in, but like you're walking through, you know, you're like walking down the Champs-Élysées or you're like over by the Eiffel Tower and somehow you look like you're about to go on a safari because you got your zip off pants and your backpack and your big hat. And it's kind of like, have an idea of, you know, maybe what it looks like there. And you can do that. I mean, we can do that easier than ever before. You can go on YouTube, you can go on Pinterest, you can just Google an image. But you know, if you're in Paris, you know, people tend to dress a bit smart. You know, and you don't always have to have a big day pack. Maybe you just have a larger tote bag that you put your camera in or some stuff. Like it's just about blending in a little bit because you never really want to be a target. And it's not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily cultural, but like in some countries, in some European city centers, for instance, you know, you want to be mindful that you should always just, you know, not switch off. Because like my mom got pickpocketed while we were in Paris and I was standing right next to her and I managed to get them to, I realized what was happening and stopped it. And this is in no way to make anyone have any fear whatsoever because it's an amazing city. It's just about, you know, don't signal that you're a tourist. Don't wear the big baseball hat and the, you know, the Adidas shower shoes and just a big shirt that says like your favorite baseball team. Like, you know, just put a little effort into it, but like, and just circling back to Middle East, I've never had to cover up extensively, cover my head. They actually have a lot of respect for Western culture and don't expect people who don't have the same religious beliefs. Typically, now again, there are exceptions and it really depends on how deep you go into a countryside, but you know, I've been in very religious places and, worn shorts. I never cover my head unless I'm visiting a mosque and there's some gorgeous architecture and you don't want to miss it if you're there. And everybody has to cover up, you know, like men can't wear shorts in there either. You have to wear a scarf around your waist. So it's just about being respectful, but you know, you do that research ahead of time. It's not that difficult in this, in our digital age.
Hey everybody, you have reached the end of part one of this two-part episode with Juliana Dever. Make sure you tune into part two.